Okay, good morning. We continue with our Nach Yomi series. I hope that everyone is doing well. We're up to Sefer Shmuel Aleph, Perek Chaf Hei, the 25th Perek. We left off yesterday that David had an opportunity to kill Shaul. Shaul has been chasing after David for a very long time, and David is in the cave. Shaul has no idea that he's there, and David's entourage is saying, "Go, kill Shaul, you gotta do this." And what does David do? He tears the corner of Shaul's robe. He doesn't kill him, and he has regret. He regrets doing this after. The Rabbah points out maybe two explanations for why he did not kill him. One was because he was the anointed one, and you have to cover for the Malchus. Number two is, if by killing him, it's going to set a precedent that you can just go kill a king, and David's going to become the next king. He doesn't want to do that. And really, just a quick shout-out to Sandy Yalom. She pointed out two great explanations. Number one, she said, maybe the explanation could be for why he did not kill him was because, at the end of the day, David is best friends with Yehonatan. And it's maybe going to look bad if you kill Yehonatan's father. You're killing your best friend's father. That's not such a good thing. And second is, he's also his father-in-law. David was married to Michal, Shaul's daughter. So maybe those were two explanations. Great point, Sandy. And we continue. So Pasuk Aleph in this parak tells us that Shmuel passes away. Shmuel, who was the last of the Shoftim, maybe was even the beginning of the kings. He was the one who anointed both kings. He anointed Shaul and he anointed David. And he passed away at this point. So the Radak points out, why specifically now do we have to mention that Shaul passed away? Because now that David was acknowledged by Shaul that he will become the king, you know, now he can relax. He's good. He's been waiting for a really long time to see if Shaul is ever going to acknowledge the fact that David's supposed to become the next king. Now that he sees that this is going to come true, he is okay, like we mentioned in the end of last parak. And the Gemara in Tainus, Daf 5b, points out that how long did Shmuel judge the Jewish people? He judged them for 13 years. He dies at the age of 52, just good to know. And this is actually 7 months before Shaul dies. And the Musar HaNeviim points out that what happens when he passed away, Vayikbitzu b'nei Yisrael, that all the Jewish people gathered together to go to the Levaya. They all gathered together to go mourn for Shmuel passing away. And this is very appropriate because if everyone's going to be traveling together, that's kind of what Shmuel did his entire life. Shmuel was such a unique leader. One of his amazing qualities that he had was that he would go around from town to town, inspiring the Jewish people, giving a shiur here, giving a shiur there, to try to inspire all of the Jewish people. So now, the next part of our story is Shmuel passes away. What's next happens? Yakam David vayered el midbar paran. That David is still on the run. At the end of the day, yes, he made a shvua with Shaul, but each time you see Shaul or hears about Shaul, you never know when this craziness, this ruach ra Elohim will come back upon Shaul. You can't trust him. So he starts running again. He goes to midbar paran. Now we hear a story about two people. We learn about Nabal and Abigail. V'ish b'ma'on u'maiset b'karmel. So the Navi tells us, there was a man, a very wealthy man, who was from Ma'on, but whose business was in Carmel. He owned a lot of animals, he was a very wealthy man, and this person was married to Abigail. And we explained, Ha'isha tova seichel b'iras tovar, she was very smart and she was very pretty. And we learn about Naval being somebody who was very difficult and an evildoer. He was unfortunately a big Russia, which we'll see. And he descended from Kaliv. He was from the family of Kaliv. So we'll have to actually point out two interesting things. Number one is, Lois points out that his business was in Carmel and he was from Ma'on. He would keep on telling to the people in the different places, "Oh, you know what, Carmel, I can't give you guys tzedakah. I can't give the Aniyim any money. I can't help you guys because I give all my tzedakah in the town that I live." And then in Ma'on, the town that he lives, he would say, "Guys, I would love to help you, but I'm trying to help the people that help my business. And I keep on giving tzedakah to all the Aniyim in Carmel." So he was really a Rasha. And what else? Why do we have to mention that he was from Kaliv? The fact that you see this dramatic contrast. The fact that Kaliv was one of the most righteous people. He was the one that came back with Yehoshua to give a good report of the land of Israel. And this person is just acting like a Kelev, like Kaliv, but he was acting like a dog. As the Rabbah points out in the Abar Benel, that he was acting like a dog that does not share its food, even with others of its own species. And what happens next? We see that David, a whole entourage with him, he had hundreds of people, he had 600 men with him, and he had responsibility of providing food for his hundreds of followers, which was not an easy task for somebody who had to try to get them food. So he's like, you know what? Go up to Naval. And Pasuk Dalet, we see, he says, go up to Naval. Naval's a very wealthy person. He things are going well for him, and he's shearing his sheep during this time. And hopefully, you know, he'll give you some food. And also tell him, b'shem me, that David's the one who's sending you guys. See how he's doing, of course. You know, make it clear. Try to remind him also that during this entire time, we were watching all of his shepherds. We were watching all of his animals. He should have some akar sato for what we did. So, you know, he should try to help us out. It's the least he can do for everything that we do. Of course, we don't have an official contract that we were supposed to watch his animals and his shepherds. But this is what we did for him. We protected everyone. And he should at least be able to help us at a time like this. And the Arch Nevi'im points out that David was a little bit too optimistic at this point. You know, you shouldn't be able to expect that, but this is what happens, and pretty much David is, David sends these men. And what does Naval say back to them? Naval says, who's this David that you talk about? Who's the son of Yishai? I don't even know who you're referring to. And Musar HaNevi'im points out that Naval considered himself more qualified for the throne than David. Of course he knew who David was, but of course he had to try to play hard. He had to pretend like he didn't know who he was, because he really thought that the family of Kalev, who was from Yehuda, he thought this would be appropriate for him to be the next king. And David, who descends from Moab, which is very interesting, because we'll see in a little bit that David obviously is about to start a whole attack against the people of Naval, all the people in that city. He wanted to destroy all the men. And why is he so persistent on this? Because since Naval was very wealthy, influential, and powerful, he felt very threatened. The fact that people might follow him, and this will lead to a whole civil war. So he really viewed this like, we got to get rid of this person, Naval, after everything that's about to happen. So let's get back to our story. What happens next? It's really like a movie. What happens next? The men come back to David, say, hey, Naval says he has no idea who you are. He's not going to give us any food. And David raises the sword, getting ready for battle. 400 men are going to go with him. 200 men are going to stay back. Also important to note is that while this is all happening, Shmuel just passed away. They're still in the middle of the days of Shiva. And it's very inappropriate for Naval to be shearing all his animals like this. This is a busha. He should have been mourning. And it just shows his evilness. And what happens next is Abigail, the wife of Naval, one of her attendants comes over to her and says, I just want to let you know that this is what just happened, and they're all about to go attack and kill the men of our city. We have to do something. And Abigail is like, oh, yeah, bye, bye. What do I have to do? She says, I have to go save my husband. What can I do? And she has to come up with a plan to go appease David, to try to figure out how to get to David. So she gets on her animal, and she brings all this food with her to try to make a treaty with him, just to try to calm down. And pretty much like the gist of her story, I see we're a little late, is that she says three things to David. Number one is she said, David, don't even waste your time on him, because he's unworthy. He's unworthy of a person. He's unworthy of a person that to merit David's attention. Number two is, it would be unbecoming for David to stain his unblemished reputation by killing Naval and his people. That's number two. And number three, the Archon of brings down, is that while David has been anointed, he had been designated only as the future king. As long as Shaul is still in the power, David is not entitled to exercise the royal prerogative of executing rebels. And this is actually a very important idea, because what ends up happening next is after this whole conversation, David says to Abigail, blessed is the Hashem, God of Israel, who sent you this day to meet me. You know, you saved me. I would have actually, killed all these people. It would have been a lot of bloodshed, and you restrained me. So thank you so much. And got all this food. David agreed not to kill him. And what's interesting is, Vayomer David la Abigail, in Pasuk Lamed Beis, that David said to Abigail, it's missing a yud here. So the Radak points out that at the end of Abigail's statement, she kind of said to him, like she kind of said to David, please remember me, you know, like if something were to happen to my husband, suggesting that she would want to marry David. And she says this while her husband was still alive. So it was inappropriate, so they take out the letter Yud. But important to know that Abigail is a big tzaddikah. Gemara in Megillah Daf Yud Dalet points out that she was one of the seven Nevi'ot. She was a very special person. We're going to see that he actually ends up marrying her. So this is what happens, that Abigail saves David from all this bloodshed, from killing so many people. And then Abigail goes back home. And she goes back home, she sees her husband still partying. She actually waits till the morning until he becomes sober, sobers up a little bit, and tells Naval of what happened, that she went without telling her husband to go try to appease David. And this obviously rocks Naval to his core, to the point that he actually dies 10 days later. David, of course, is grateful for this, the fact that he didn't actually end up having to kill him, and he died anyways. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf 18a, points out that maybe these were the Aseres Yimei Tshuva. And Hashem gave Naval 10 days to try to do teshuva, to try to repent, but he did not do it. He dies after 10 days. After this, David's servants come to Abigail in Carmel saying, hey, David wants you to come fight for him, to marry him. And she is honored. She feels humbled. So she goes, she marries, she comes with these five maids traveling with her. She brings five people with her, the number five again. But Abigail goes, marries David, and David actually marries one more person. He marries Ahinoam from Yisrael. And these were his two wives, Abigail and Ahinoam. So a person can be wondering to themselves, what happened to Michal, the daughter of Shaul? So the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf 19b, actually talks about this. Maybe the marriage wasn't valid anymore, and Shaul felt like she can go marry anyone else, so she gave him to Palti. David felt like they were still married, technically, and we end up seeing that, you know, just what actually the whole Gemara talks about, this whole story with Paltiel, that they put a knife in between because he felt like they were usher to each other. But really, just to sum up this parak, Shmuel dies. We learn about David, Avigail, Naval, and Ahinoam. Bezrat Hashem, we'll pick up tomorrow. Sorry, went a little longer today. It was a very long parak, but we'll pick up with parak Chavav tomorrow. Have a great day in Kol Tov.